Support comes from Ohio University's Voinovich School of Leadership and Public Service, a proud member of Ohio University's Health Collaborative, with the Heritage College of Osteopathic Medicine and the College of Health Sciences and Professions. We are partnering with local providers and communities to improve public health. Information is available at ohio.edu/Voinovich-school.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jazzed About Work, where we talk about everything that might have an impact on your career. I'm your host, Bev Jones, author of Find Your Happy at Work. And this is the second of two conversations with Carrie Hannon. She's a leading expert on career and finance issues. She's written about a dozen books, and millions of people follow Carrie's column on Yahoo. Today, we'll get into some of the nitty-gritty of finding a job in 2025. Carrie will bring us up to date on the latest from LinkedIn. She'll talk about the kinds of organizations that might be hiring now. She'll explain how you can frame your own story, and we'll explore some of the important things to keep in mind when you're launching or just thinking about launching a job search. Carrie, thank you for coming back so we can continue our conversation about finding a job these days. It's not as easy as it was a year ago, is it?
No, it's not, Bev. I mean, the job market is holding steady, but it's not, let's say, the golden age of the job for the job seeker has passed us by.
Yeah, and what I'm noticing is that there is a different attitude. Of course, you and I live in the Washington, D.C. area, where there are a lot of people very worried because so many federal jobs are going away. But what I've noticed in this region and across the country, it seems like a lot of people are anxious just from the general environment, not because of something that's happening in their own organization. And so people are worried, and that makes other people worried. Do you see that kind of wave of anxiety kind of spreading around?
Yeah, without question, there's this sense of insecurity that workers are feeling, not just the government workers, but it's sort of a widening pessimism that I'm hearing from readers out there and others. And people are worried about the economy. They're worried about lots of things. But the thing is, job seekers are saying that they're just not getting the offers that they once did, and they're just not confident that there are plenty of jobs available for them out there. So I think there's a sense of feeling discouraged, and whether the hard numbers are proving that quite yet, I don't know. But at the end of last year, there was an improvement in the job market. And so far, you know, it's sort of, I saw a study today from a group called ZipRecruiter, and they said that it's now a record low 13% of job seekers describe their search as going well, and a record 41% are expressing pessimism about job availability. So this is a study that was nationwide across all different kinds of business sectors. So I think you've hit the nail on this one.
Well, maybe we can help a little bit. I think one of the things that I'm noticing is that people who have not been in the job market for a while and who haven't been kind of keeping up their plan B with so that they're always sort of looking for another job just in case. I think a lot of these people are saying, I don't know what to do. Last time around, I just went to a couple of these big sites and I found a job, and now nothing happens online and I don't know where to begin and I don't have a network. And I think people can pause a little bit and look at some of the trends and maybe pretty quickly get on a better track for actually creating an effective job search, and maybe we can help.
Yeah, and I think that's the right approach, Bev, because, you know, we're seeing this this sort of feeling from the federal job cuts and the layoffs across corporations, large companies. And so people are feeling this malaise and this fear. And I think that, in fact, it probably is harder to find a job or, let's say, a better position than you had before right now. But the work that you do, Bev, with your coaching and your deep understanding of the job search, and what I've found is there are paths that people can take that make them stand out, that make them have a shot at this. And really, it's taking back control of your own narrative and really managing where you're looking for a job, who you want to work for and why you want to work for them, and making sure you have those relevant skills, which you alluded to. No matter what stage you are at in a job search, whether you're just sort of thinking about it or you're in the midst of it, if you're not adding to your skill sets to stay relevant, this is going to be an issue for you moving forward.
Well, let's talk about some of the specific things people can do. From everything from LinkedIn to learning new things. But I wonder if a good starting point is what you call your car story. And that's kind of working up your own story so you know how to present yourself. Would you tell us about your car story, your C-A-R story?
Without question. You know what it is, Bev, in any situation, and particularly a job search one, whether you're in an interview or you're writing this on your LinkedIn profile or your resume, is we're storytellers. People love a good story. And so it's very important to be able to control the narrative of what your story is. So the car story is this. It's a challenge that you faced in your work. That's the C. The action that you took to fix that problem, to find a solution. And the R for car is the result. And these don't have to be big, long narratives. This is a very short, use numbers. You know, you brought in, you know, raise sales by 13% over a two-month basis. And, you know, throw numbers in because any hiring manager or company loves to see the results. The bottom line, that's what it's all about, how it improves their bottom line. But you want to share that you are someone who gets things done. And so boil down these little stories. And so you want to be able to put them tightly in a resume or LinkedIn. But if you're in an interview situation, you can open it up a little bit and kind of expand on what it was you did in a more natural conversational way. But it's important to have these kind of stories at your fingertips because it's what sets you apart.
Yes, and I think one of the most important things when you're entering a search is to know what your strengths are, you know, what you're really good at. And people have a hard time articulating their strengths and abilities. But if they come up with those stories, if they come up with examples that describe something that went well, they don't have to feel awkward about the way they brag about themselves. Instead, they just give the facts, and the facts are very convincing.
Yeah,
so I think that makes a lot of sense.
Without question, because you hit on something there, Bev, that I like. People want you to be confident, but they want you to be actually have some humility. So you need to be a bit humble, and that's a good way to pair this because you're not brag. The numbers are telling your story for you. So that's super important. And I wanted to mention here, and I know you probably help work with this with your clients and in your books you've written about, but if you're having trouble coming up with what some of those words, if you're just trying to describe what your skills are and what you're good at, I often, you know, there's the old technique of ask people around you because they see things that you don't or that you take for granted about yourself. But what I love to do, and I just did this myself this week, is I have a folder where I put in, you know, comments and letters and notes I get from people I've worked with as well as managers about what I've done right, or a performance review that says what my standout things were. And I put them in a little file. And when I'm kind of lost about what it is, I pull that out and take a look at it.
I've always called that the love me file. And it goes back to the olden days when we were all working much more with actual mail, you know, delivered by a post person. And, you put in the thank you notes, you put in the examples of things that actually worked. You put them in, and maybe you don't look at them again for years, but then suddenly an opportunity comes along, and you think, I don't know anything about that, and you look through it, and it's like you're reading about another person, a person who's much nicer and smarter than you are. It always seems to work.
It's so true. Like just a quick example for me, it was last week we had a lot of volatility in my workplace, and some people I was close to lost their jobs. And so I got very nervous, like, oh my gosh, what about me? And then my manager sent me this lovely note about something I had done a great job on. And I told another colleague, and he said, Carrie, quick, take a screenshot of that and put that in a file.
Exactly.
And I'm like, oh, thank you for reminding me. I forgot I can do this right on my computer. It's just gonna
yes,
take
yes. So this is an old-fashioned way of preparing yourself for a job search, but it really, really works. One of the newer ways, compared to the files we used to carry around in a bottom drawer, one of the newer ways, of course, is LinkedIn, which has become absolutely critical, I think, in many job search situations. And what's interesting in LinkedIn is it's continuing to evolve, I think. So it's more useful and important than it used to be. And I know you follow LinkedIn a lot. What do you think is happening? What are some of their new things?
Well, Bev, I'm a huge fan of LinkedIn for so many reasons. And one very important one is that it's an opportunity, your profile there. Employers, it's white-collar jobs. I'm not saying this is for everybody, but for a certain kind of knowledge worker, people look to your LinkedIn profile to learn more about you before they even go any further with you. So you want to make sure it's become very interactive. You can put videos, you can put all kinds of different things up there to showcase who you are and what makes you different, even places where you volunteer. And it enables you to make connections. It also enables you to find who you know or who you know knows who works at different organizations where you might want to work. So that's kind of interesting because that's where you're going to find opportunities to get in the door through a referral. That's the number one way people get jobs. But you can also build your network, that word that we all grimace at, but you can find people I know so many people I've met through LinkedIn that I actually have never physically met, but I feel like I know them because I follow their work, they follow my work. We lift each other up and we comment on each other's things. It's a wonderful community, especially in a world where we're all kind of a virtual much of the time. And if you're job seeking, you feel a little like an outlier. And this way you have this community. So I think that's helpful. They have all kinds of learning opportunities online. They have recruiters. I actually found my job at Yahoo Finance because I wasn't even looking, but a recruiter saw my LinkedIn profile and contacted me. This can happen. It doesn't, I'm saying it's a shot in the dark, but it does, that can happen. And so I think there's fantastic opportunities to really leverage LinkedIn in a way that no other platform allows you to do. And I know you know quite a bit. And also, oh, I forgot, they have great job postings. I mean, you can sign up for, I want a remote job, I want a part-time job, I want to work here, I want this industry. Whatever it is, you can slice and dice it. And every couple of days, you're going to get a list of job openings in this within those categories that you outline for yourself. And that's kind of fun. Even, I'm happily employed at the moment, but I look at them all the time. never know.
They're really going in a variety of directions. I think they have a new tool, and they are charting the skill sets, I guess, that are most wanted by all of the people who are using LinkedIn to hire people.
Yeah.
What they've said when I read something the other day is the number one skill set, and it's not a surprise, is AI. But then they go on and list a number of other things that employers really want. And interestingly, some of them are what we sometimes called soft skills, their communication, their leadership. They're not merely the technical skills that people might emphasize in their resume. So looking at what people what employers are seeking is one thing you can do on LinkedIn. But the other thing that you can do is they even have learning opportunities. You can search and find out, where might I go to learn more about AI? There are lots and lots of online learning platforms these days. And sometimes just knowing a little bit about something is enough to show that at least you're not afraid of it and that you have some interest in it. And so developing an awareness of potential skill sets is a big starting point.
And Beth, the other thing I want to add in there when you're talking about that, LinkedIn also has, they just came out with a report not long ago called Jobs on the Rise. And it's worth checking out on LinkedIn for anyone who wants to scan that, because their jobs, you know, there's new ones that we've never even heard of coming up there, but there's also some old-fashioned ones that, you know, that maybe we already did know about, but they're coming right back. Like it's something as maybe a travel agent or a travel advisor, they call themselves now. So, but there's all kinds of interesting jobs up there right now. And then they say what qualifications you need for these jobs and so forth. So I highly recommend that as a resource to pair with those top skills that you just mentioned. And frankly, I think communication never goes out of style. So that's always going to be number one, written, oral,
whatever.
Yes,
it's very important. But let's get back to that topic that nobody ever wants to hear. In fact, just today I had a conversation with a client who's feeling uncertain and thinking, oh gosh, I wouldn't know how to begin if I were to lose my job, but I think I need to give it some thought. Where do you start? And I said, well, of course, you start by looking at your network, looking at who you know and kind of connecting with people. And this person said, I don't have a network. I've never needed a network. I just know the people I work with and the people in my PTA, but I don't have any network. So what we started doing, I just started asking her some questions. All right, what's the most interesting job you ever had? Well, were there some other people you worked with? Would those be people you'd like to see? Yeah, but I don't know where they are. And so we talked about how you can search on LinkedIn and find out people who were at the same city for the same corporation or the same line of work. You can, search possibilities are really pretty amazing. So you can reach out to people you only knew slightly, but you worked together happily 10 years ago, and get in touch with those people. And it's always good to have just a little bit of connection when you're seeking help. But if you do have that little bit of connection, most people want to help.
Well, I think the connection is imperative in a job search, finding other people who can help you get in the door, places and so forth. The other thing, Bev, that's important to note, and I think you do this in the initial chat when people are trying to figure out where they should start looking, they don't have any idea, is you've got to be so careful not to get stuck in a moment, as I like to call it. It's like the U2 song, you know, Bono sings that lyric, and you don't need to replicate your old job. People get scared and they want to stay in the same lane. They want to stay in the same lane because it's something they know. But this is a time, this is an opportunity when you're thinking of shifting to a new job. And I'm not saying you're necessarily transitioning to a new industry. This is simply a new opportunity. You have to stay open-minded. You have to look for the opportunities and be willing to try something new and to open your mind and not be so set in your ways about what your expectation is for this new job. And this is where it comes in, Bev, where you're saying like, okay, so maybe this there are these jobs on the rise. Maybe I've never heard of, maybe I want to learn more about that job. Who do I know who does something like that? And just have that informational interview. You're not asking them for a job. You just want to talk to them about what their job is like, and everyone wants to talk about their job truthfully. If they
yes.
love their job, they love to talk about it.
Oh, that's such an important point. Everybody's busy, of course, but if you can give somebody an opportunity to talk about themselves and feel that they're doing good at the same time, you can get quite a bit of time from people. It's nice to be listened to. So that's a good way to get a conversation and maybe even a professional relationship going in the first place. But there's also another kind of variance of what we're talking about, and that is don't be afraid to go into a type of organization or an industrial field where you know nothing if your skill area could work at a lot of different places. Like, for example, there's a lot of growth and change, at least in the health area now. All kinds of new technologies, health tech is coming along, and there may be openings there, whether you're an accountant or a marketer or a PR person or an HR person. Just because you don't know the field or the kind of technology doesn't mean that you're not going to be able to take your strengths and your capabilities and apply them to that new field, right?
Without question. I call that, Bev, redeploying your skills, right? You know, because everyone says, oh, I've got to reinvent myself to go to this new industry. Absolutely not. I mean, so many of your skills, if you've honed through your career, they can easily translate, just as you said, to a new field. I mean, I tell this, it's in a gentleman that I met and I profiled in one of my books, that I tell the story about how he, you know, he retired, took mandatory retirement from the Navy. And he had been a captain and he had lots of responsibility, leadership, management duties. And he ran away with the circus, right? And he became the company manager of the Big Apple Circus. He could have worked in the Defense Department. He could have flown corporate air. But you know what? Don Covington loved the circus from the time he was a little kid. He would go to circus wherever he was deployed for the Navy. And I said to him, I'm like, you know, how does this job that you've segued to at this pivoted to at this stage in your life, because he was still, you know, mid-50s at this point. And I said, how is that similar to the military? He goes, oh, they're not that different, Gary. And he said, the thing is, what he did is he took those skills that he learned in his Navy career and his military career, and he transitioned them to this nonprofit circus troupe of people. But he was managing a troop moving up and down the East Coast. He used his leadership skills, his analytical skills, all kinds of things and obviously communication skills, but all these things that he had honed during his military career, and he transitioned to something he adores, nonprofit work, but it's fun. And that's a big example, I know, and it's sort of a stretch, but it's a true one. And I love it to show how people can just redeploy.
Well, part of the way a person can begin to redeploy is to do some nonprofit work, like you just mentioned. Sometimes we might think, oh gosh, I've done a little of this, and I'd really like to shift to be a marketer or a PR person. But I don't know enough about what's happening these days. If you go to an organization, if you're a member of a board, if you have friends who are members of boards who are looking for skill sets, and volunteer to do something you just know a little bit about, but you're honest and you'll say, look, I'm not an expert on this, but I see you need the help and I'd be happy to do it for nothing. And you build your skills on the job with people who probably really appreciate you. And you finish with a credential and a much better sense of what it is that you're looking at, whether you really want to do it, what kind of coursework might help you, if you practice in a nonprofit sector. And I've heard you say that a lot. Right?
Yeah. Get out of your head and into the world, I like to say. And it's so beautiful because you make new connections, you build your network, and you discover things about yourself. I have a very good friend who, when he moved into doing nonprofit work, he heads up this nonprofit, and one of his big duties is fundraising. And this is something he had never really done before. And I said, well, how do you do that? Doesn't that make you uncomfortable? And he goes, I found out I love to raise money. I have no problem asking for money. Because he believes in what he does. No, he believes in the cause. And so it became no problem whatsoever. But he never thought of himself as something he would naturally do. But he said, turns out I'm pretty good at this. So you might surprise yourself.
Yeah, another thing that you might be surprising when you're, maybe if you really need a job because you've lost your old one, I've heard you advise taking part-time jobs, taking temp jobs, taking jobs where you're covering up for somebody who's on maternity leave and they're desperate. Anything you do to keep working when you're not working, when you don't have a big job, anything you can do kind of helps your mindset. It helps your entrepreneurial awareness, and it gives you a chance to build those skills and show off a little bit on your other strengths. So I think not all that long ago, you wrote a column about the importance of taking temp jobs, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh, Bev, it is really important because this does so many things for you. Like you just mentioned, you ticked off some great ones right there. It builds your confidence, your mojo, your moxie. You feel better about yourself. And for an employer, it keeps your resume alive for if you're still continuing looking for that full-time job. You might weave a couple of these part-time ones together and then you're dandy. You don't even, because it gives you that autonomy and flexibility you might actually be looking for in a job right now. But the fact is, taking a part-time job or a temp job, it does keep you might learn new skills on that job. And that just, it's a real stepping stone to jumping back into a full-time position again, as well as taking your work into a new direction. I call these like experiments, if you want to look at it that way, because nothing is forever. You're not stuck in this job. It just gives you a chance to, let's do a little experiment and see if this is something I like.
It also gives you a chance to experiment on your own story, your car story, or and I think it's maybe a good way to have conversations about yourself. And another thing I know you've written about is how smart it is to practice the tough conversations you might have, the tough questions that people might ask you. And you can do that with a friend before an interview, but you can also sort of practice that in the context of job that's temp, and you can take some risks because you're not going to be there forever. So what do you tell people about practice?
That's job, very empowering.
Or practice questions.
Yeah, that's super empowering because, again, you don't have that much at stake, right? So why not? Wing it a little bit, you know? And that's your chance to really, especially if you're interviewing for some of these, because this is, you learn how to be a better interviewer. I mean, whether it's virtual interview or an in-person one, practice makes perfect. The more you get out the door and do these interviews, the better you're going to be at them. I mean, people ask you all kinds of crazy questions. Of course, you know, what's the worst thing that ever happened to you or the biggest mistake you ever made? They always go down that negative lane, but then they might say to you, well, what's one thing you would change about our company? And you're like, but if it's not going to be something that you're risking it all on, you might just have some fun coming up with some answers that could be helpful to that company as well.
And partly your attitude when the questions are asked or experiences that you're likely to have or described or whatever, partly your attitude toward it is an important thing. Everybody wants to work with positive people. And
yes.
Positivity is something that I think people make judgments about without even noticing it. When they're interviewing people, they'll look at all the skills, but in the back of their mind, they're thinking, I'm going to have to see this person every day. We're going to have to like go out to lunch together with clients. People want to be able to do things with other positive people. So demonstrating positively, but practicing it. I mean, learning to be more positive in a difficult situation is something that you can do when you're temping or you're at a job you don't like that much. You can use it as a chance to practice your ability to manage your own positive attitude, right?
Oh, without question. I love that. I mean, that's right. And I think that it also gives you that opportunity to, just to understand how important just having that sort of, can-do outlook impacts everyone around you. And I think that you feel it coming back at you as well. But it is a muscle you can learn to work. And when you're not, when you have a bit of freedom, you can work on how ways that you can hone that ability that you have. And Bev, you and I also often talk about this idea, and maybe this is going off track a bit, but how it's important to have some level of physical fitness and eating with an eye to nutrition and so forth. Because it's very subtle, but when you are physically fit, you are naturally more positive, more upbeat, and people don't know what it is that they're seeing about you or what it is that, you know, you haven't dyed your hair or any of that, but I'm talking for the older worker set, but but they want to be around you. They want you on their team. And I think that's sort of like the magic ingredient that a lot of people don't realize. Ah, there is a way I can get more positive and this isn't that hard to do. I need to just, you know, I don't have to run fast miles, but I can do this. I can walk my dog 3 miles, right?
Yes. Well, now, Carrie, every time you and I talk together on this podcast or sometimes other podcasts, I find that I'm talking faster than I can really control my tongue. I start tripping over the words because I want to fit in so much when I'm talking to Carrie because she has so many great ideas. And so once again, this time has just flown by. We're nearing the end. I don't want to have any more fast, quick suggestions, but I do want you, before we go, to just answer one question if you have any thoughts about it. And that is, where are the jobs now? Where are people likely to find hiring actually going on? Are there some sectors of the economy where it's a good starting point for job search?
Yeah, you know, Bev, this is always a tricky one because it's depending on what part of the country you live in and all those sort of things. Healthcare is generally quite robust. Education, I still find opportunities at startups. There are a lot of new companies opening their doors, and we're seeing opportunities there and smaller associations that really need expertise. So some of those pockets are there. Tech jobs, yes, there's a lot of cuts at the big tech companies, but some of the smaller ones have needs there as well. So there's all kinds of, again, I refer to that report that I mentioned, the LinkedIn one on the jobs on the rise. The other thing I would note to your listeners is please, please don't get stuck on the number, the pay so much, because it is important what you earn and so forth. It's critical, but sometimes there's so many more things about a job that are positive, like not a toxic work environment, opportunities for workplace development, professional development, being able to work remotely if that's what you want to do, or hybrid. So look at and all the other benefits. And what I'm finding in the job market right now is employers are not offering those swing for the fences starting salaries they were a few years ago when it was truly a job seeker's market. But what they are offering is they found that people didn't stick around. You know, they would jump to another opportunity. They take the big starting salary and then keep moving. Well, they want to retain their workers, so they're offering more healthcare benefits, mental health benefits, all kinds of things around the edges that to help retain people. So dig into all the things about a job, not just the pay.
Yes, and some employers are really coming a long way from the olden days and the way they want to take care of their employees because they know that is going to create a better organization. Well, as always, I've really enjoyed this. As always, I want to say I miss you and your dog out on the countryside, so because you're working too hard. But remember, you know, our dogs are waiting to see each other. They're cousins and they're getting lonely. So I hope we see you in person soon.
Thank you, Bev. This was lovely.
Today, we've been talking with Carrie Hannon about launching a job search. This podcast is produced by WOUB Public Media. Nathan Kane is our audio engineer. I'm your host, Bev Jones, author of Think Like an Entrepreneur, Act Like a CEO. And our sponsor is the Voinovich School of Leadership and Public Service at Ohio University. Today's tip is that you shouldn't be afraid to ask for help when you're looking for work. Most people understand the challenges of a job search, and many of them will be willing to give you a little assistance. Thanks for listening, and if you enjoyed today's show, please give us a 5-star rating.